Yud base iyar, we're holding in Siman Pei Gimel Alecha Gimel. We're going to Siman Pei Dalet Alecha Dalet. I know this topic for many of us is new, this concept of a karfaf, and yet it's something that we don't realize is right in front of our eyes. So for example, really we made a distinction. If you have an area which is around 12,500 square feet, it's about a quarter of an acre, and that area is not mukaf ladira. Now what exactly does that mean? It's not residential. Simple example actually is that we'll see today are areas where it's vegetable gardens. Why is that? Because it's not an area where you're going to hang out. It's not where the kids are going to play. If you have a grass area that's made for the purpose of kids playing and swings and everything else, so that becomes what's called mukaf ladira. Now the chiddush that we're going to learn today is that even if you have a place that's surrounded not l'shem dira, but it's not bigger than the size of the 12,500 square feet, meaning it's less than base asayim, so you're allowed to care in that area, even though it's not, it's a vegetable garden. And so there's no area, but it's enclosed. The halacha is that you still are limited. What are you limited? That if you had items that you left, let's say you left your carriage outside, your stroller, you won't be able to bring into your house according to Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. But if you have a courtyard next door, next to it, that means you have a chatzar, courtyard that is used for things that are household, the things that are in your house. So there you're allowed to take the courtyard, is considered connected to the house itself, but you would not be able to carry from, let's say, the vegetable garden that we just described to the courtyard. Now, even this, according to the Chafetz Chaim, if it's all owned by one person, it's not a problem. That's why these things are quite complicated, especially you go away and you have end up in a hotel and you have a backyard, but it's not fully enclosed. So that's an example of where you could definitely potentially have a shaila. The bottom line is that in this situation where you have an area that's not residential, it's not surrounded for the residential purposes, so there is some limitation by the items that you left outside before Shabbos, you won't be able to bring it into your house on Shabbos, but you can move it to the courtyard. Now, if you have a place that was surrounded, again, like a vegetable garden, and that means that initially when you put it, let's say, walls up, and then so the walls are put up, it wasn't put up for the purpose of residential reasons, but then you decide you're building a house in that area. Or another example is you have a house, now you opened up an opening in the back of the house to an area that was never really surrounded for the purpose of residential purposes. So how do you change the wall status? Meaning you have walls, they weren't put up for the sake of residential purposes. So how do you transform these walls that they have literally a different name, a different purpose? And the answer is you have to now be mevatel the mechitzas, cancel the mechitzas. How do you cancel the mechitzas? We already learned before. If you can have an opening, a pfirtza means an opening, a breach, that's going to be 10 amas long, which we said is around 15 feet. So if you have 15 feet of opening, so you purposely make, you break through a 15 feet opening, and then you restructure it. By reclosing it now for the purpose of residential reason, you transform those walls and now they have a different name, meaning they're serving a different purpose. That's an amazing halacha. Another example where you could have a courtyard that's bigger, let's say, than the size of basis, I mean, bigger than the size of a quarter of an acre. But that area, you planted trees. Now, the point here is that you have this area, it's bigger than a qualified amount of base assigned. But by planting trees, even if it's majority of the area, you didn't cancel me. Let's say it was residential, you had a beautiful grass area, and I stopped putting up trees. Trees is a perfect example, something that's considered still residential. Why? Because people like to hang out on the trees. It's called the Stoifech Betzeli Lonis. Like I said, the equivalent today would be also grass. And the question really becomes when it comes to fruit trees, because fruit trees are not necessarily planted for the purpose of really enjoying and sitting by the shade, but rather for the fruit purposes. But clearly, if you planted zroim, so first of all, the idea is you didn't ruin the area, the residential that was surrounded. But if you put seeds and you made it into vegetable gardens, if it's in the majority of the courtyard, even if it's not in one spot, but by having it in the majority of the area, you now just canceled the residential status. It's considered a vegetable garden, and therefore you're in trouble. Now, if this is the minority of the courtyard, so as long as it's less than the area of Beis Hasai, it's considered batel to the chatzar, and it's considered part of the courtyard. But if it's more than the area of Beis Hasai, so that area of the seeds have a status of a kamelis. And this is very interesting, Allah. That means if you create an area where you're going to have a size of, let's say, vegetable garden, which is the size of a quarter of an acre, like we've been saying. Now, not only do you have now a status of an area you can't carry because it's a common list, but even the area that's next to it, that's a courtyard, is considered opened up to that area, and it limits your ability to carry in that area too. So that's an amazing halacha that we don't think about again. A little bit technical, but these are examples where you have to be careful. You decide you're putting up, and an example is, by the way, is sometimes you have to put up eruvs. My son Pisco Jersey discusses, a lot of wheat planted areas and fields, and you're making this large area around the city, you can run into these problems. Another example in the community sometimes, and I had this by me in Sycamore, actually in Manzi, there's a street, or there's so the area is encompassing streets, but there's a problem because there's large areas which are much larger than, that's a quarter of an acre, and you can't walk through. It's trees that are certainly not trees that you're going to sit under and enjoy. So the halacha is like this: if you could get through, technically it shouldn't be a problem. But what they do is today is they actually close it off with using what's called Tzuras HaPesach in order to avoid the limitations. Very interesting. And that's a common now practice in local city eruvs. Another interesting case, if you have a courtyard that is the size of just base of sign or even less, now you start planting vegetables there. So you go base on majority. Now, if the majority is now vegetables, so technically you still have to carry there because it's not the size of base of sign. Nevertheless, it's limited, it's inferior. And you won't be able to have any, you won't be able to take utensils that were there when Shabbos began. It stays, it has a status, you can only carry in that area. You won't be able to take it into the house or take something from the house into that area. One of the eights is one of the advice that one can do is create a partition in front of the garden, the vegetable area. And this way you'll be able to carry until that partition. Siman Pei Daled is the new world of Haitzah. Meaning, what can you wear? We're talking about in Rishus HaRabim where there's no air, where you can't construct an air. Or even in a common place, like areas that you go away and there's no, so like I said, Flatbush is an area where it's a question whether you could use the air or not. So the question is, what is considered carrying or not? Because at the end of the day, that's the question. The Melech HaSeitzah. So there are things that are not considered carrying. There are things that are considered not carrying, but are still going to be limited because we're worried you might take it off and show it to someone. So these are all the different types of ornaments. And there's certain types of clothing, and the question is, what type of clothing is okay to wear? Certain clothings are really not done for the purpose of really keeping you warm, but rather just to protect the other clothing. So let's get into that. So the Kitzur gives us the rule: anything that's not a malbush, not clothing, and it's not really an ornament, you're not allowed to go into Shus HaRabim or Kamlis. So an example that he gives is the machat tchuva, the pin that a person is stuck in his clothing. Now we have to kind of relate to what they. Either you had pins much more often, using pins much more often. Even if it's a pin that doesn't have what's called a neck, it doesn't have a hole, so it's not really something you would use to sew with. And even if it's done for the purpose of wearing, it's not, when it comes to a man, it just says don't wear it. Not something that's so normal to wear. When it comes to a woman, it's much more common. She wears, and especially today when you have safety pins. And so the kids, this Pisket too says, of course, safety pins and all these things that are really being functioning is holding together different parts of clothing, that would not be a problem. Now, machat nekuva, again, is a pin that has a hole that people use for sewing. So that much more is much more serious of a concern because that's really not something that a person wears and people use it for sewing. When it comes to even these ornaments, so there are certain things that Chazal basically said were worried. If you go out, you're going to start showing it to people, especially when it comes to women. It used to be that they would take off these beautiful jewelry and compare, and they might carry 4 amas in Shus HaRabim. The mice of the minigas today is to be made. Well, this is already brought down in the Poskim, in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah. And the minig for this is different reasons given. Some say it's because, first of all, you don't really show, especially today, you don't show these things off in Shus HaRabim. You show them in Shul, you meet someone in Shul. That's one of the another reason is because maybe we don't have a real Shus HaRabim today. The mice. Kitzur says Yirei Shamayim should be machmir himself to avoid these things. So, when it comes to these different types of jewelry and ornaments, best not to wear. Big discussion, which the Kitzur himself discusses, is the watches. Now, remember the old day pocket watches. First of all, some of them were just worn and were kept in the pocket. But even the ones around them that are tied to a chain, and if the chain's beautiful, the watch might be silver or gold. All these things were major discussions whether it's okay to wear or not. Is it considered an ornament? They're not considered an ornament. Moshe Feinstein has a famous tshuva that he says it. Anything that you wear technically is considered clothing. So therefore, if you wear something, and he has a beautiful proof actually from the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, something that they used to wear around the neck and they used to clean themselves with it. But the point is, he says, Mikar din, you could wear a watch. Certainly, you could wear a watch that's beautiful. That means, let's say you have a watch that's gold, silver, all these fancy watches that we were discussing the other day when it comes to the question of winding, etc. But these expensive watches, you would wear them even if they stopped functioning. Why? Because they're so beautiful. So that's even more of a reason to be able to wear them. Nevertheless, even Moshe, who's lenient, most lenient, so says Yirei Shamayim, it's best not to wear. So you have to know with the situation. If you really need a watch, there's room to be make on, especially if you're not, let's say, in Manhattan or in the Shusharim D'oraisa, much more room to be lenient. When it comes to the key, the silver key, wow, this is a famous question. You know, there's two ways of using a key. Meaning a silver key to put around your belt, so you could, if it's really functioning and helping you in the belt, you have to know to construct it properly. Much more room to be lenient, because sometimes a person needs a key in order to be able to come back to the house and open it. But you have to be careful to know how to construct it. Also, when it comes to glasses, interestingly, all these glasses, well, whole discussion, it's not the same glasses that we have today. That's much more, actually I have a close Talmud that produces glasses without the things around your ears. So it actually goes back to a good question, whether you'd be allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Then the answer is, it all depends on how fitted it is and how likely you can take it off. When it comes to sunglasses, that's someone asked me recently, and that's more problematic because that's not something that you're vital. There's another question about lenses. Can you wear lenses? All these things, if it's normal that you're not going to take it off in Shul Rabim, that should be enough to wear it. The fancier the glasses are, actually, the better it is, because it's also stick a light, like similar to an ornament. Have a beautiful day.